Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. Remember, God's word is holy, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I'm indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there, to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid. But they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. And let us pray. Our gracious Father, we come again to your word, your holy scriptures, for your word is eternal, and your word is absolute truth. O God, your Son Jesus Christ said this, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Father, help us to abide in your word. Lord, train us to be your disciples. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us to discern the truths found in this text. In our own limited mind and understanding and ability, we cannot understand this text. And so we seek the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Testimony is a good tool in evangelism. Testimony is a good tool in evangelism. However, many times, testimony becomes self-exaltation than Christ exaltation. Some Christians, instead of telling people what God has done in their lives, they tell stories about themselves. Bottom line, sharing personal story as testimony defeats the purpose. In the sharing of testimony, Paul was a genius. Paul was an extraordinary servant of the Lord. He was an exceptional evangelist. In the past weeks, we learned that the Jews had false accusations against Paul. In order to clear up the false accusations, the elders in Jerusalem asked Paul to do purification with four men who concluded their Nazarite vows in the temple. The Jews from the Asia Minor recognized Paul in the temple, and so they rounded up a mob and they attacked Paul. Then Paul was arrested by the Roman authorities. Then Paul asked permission to speak to the mob in order to defend himself. So how did Paul defend himself before the angry Jews outside the temple? Interestingly, Paul used some genius tactics, and we should learn from him. So today we are going to examine this text under three headings. Number one, identity, verses 1 through 5. Identity. Number two, conversion, verses 6 through 16. Conversion. Number three, apostle to the Gentiles. Apostle to the Gentiles, verses 17 through 21. Identity, conversion, apostle to the Gentiles. So let us begin by looking at the first heading, identity. In the attempt to defend himself for the gospel ministry, Paul established a contact point with them, and that was identity. Paul revealed his identity to the angry Jews in the temple. Before we get into the identity, first notice how Paul began his address, which is worthy of our consideration. Look at verse 2. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Paul began his defense, his speech of defense, not in Greek language, but in Hebrew. When they heard Paul speaking in Hebrew, their native language, the crowd became silent and listened attentively to him. Do you see the power of the use of native language? Paul not only approached the Hebrew crowd with the Hebrew language, but with great respect. Paul respected the young as well as the elders. Notice, in verse 1, he affectionately addressed them as brethren and fathers. Not that they were Christians, but they were Jewish. Paul was a Jewish man, and so were these Jews. So, since they were of the same ethnicity, Paul addressed them as brethren and fathers. But then I want you to notice something here. Do you notice Paul's humility and forgiving attitude? A short while ago, in Acts chapter 21, this mob attacked him brutally and were about to kill him. Now he called them brethren and fathers. No animosity, no bitterness, no revengeful attitude were found in Paul. Can we approach our enemies with love? This same Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in this way, Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. These truths must sink deep into our hearts. Look at Paul. He addressed those who beat him up as brethren and fathers. That is Paul's approach. But then how did Paul identify himself to the mob, the crowd, the Jewish crowd? Look at verse 3. I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. In this verse, Paul set out three main things in his opening defense. Three things: Jew, place, law. Jew, place, law. Why? Remember, the Jews charged false allegations against Paul in these three things: Jewish people, temple, law. Remember, in Acts chapter 21, the Jewish people falsely accused Paul that Paul blasphemed the Jewish people, blasphemed the temple, and he blasphemed the law. So what Paul is doing in verse 3 is to destroy all those allegations. So he starts off with Jew. The Jews accused him for blaspheming the Jewish race. And Paul needed to reveal his identity because the Jews did not really know who Paul was. They did not know that Paul was a Jew too. Paul was a descendant of Abraham. He had a Jewish lineage. So how could Paul have blasphemed the Jewish people, for he was a Jew himself? Second place, the Jews accused him for blaspheming the place or the temple. You know, Paul was part of the diaspora, meaning the Jews were scattered everywhere. And Paul was born in Tarsus, Cilicia, as we are told in verse 3. But then he was raised in Jerusalem since he was young. He grew up in Jerusalem, meaning he had visited the temple since young. So how could he have blasphemed the place or the temple? That's his argument in verse 3. And then the law. The Jews accused Paul for blaspheming the Jewish law. But Paul received the best education in Jerusalem under the renowned Rabbi Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a famous Old Testament teacher in Jerusalem, and Paul was taught with all strictness concerning the Old Testament. Moreover, Paul was an Old Testament scholar. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. So how could Paul have blasphemed the Jewish law? Hence, Paul destroyed all the alleged allegations by the mob concerning the people, place, and law. That's what we are seeing in the beginning of his defense in verse 3. And Paul further sympathized with the Jews concerning the zealousness toward God. Paul was zealous for God just like those Jews who attacked Paul. Look at verse 3b. And was zealous toward God as you all are today. Paul illustrated how he was zealous for God in the next two verses. Remember, Paul was a persecutor of the Jewish Christians. In those days, Christians were called as the followers of the way. In verse 4, followers of the way, meaning followers of Jesus Christ. And Paul received permission letters from the high priest and the council of elders, meaning the Sanhedrin, to arrest Christians. At that time, Paul was Saul. He was not a believer. He was not a Christian. So Paul would bring them to Jerusalem, bring the Christians to Jerusalem to be punished, both men and women. They were punished by imprisonment and even death. Hence, Paul revealed his identity and zealousness for God in order to relate himself with the mob, the Jewish crowd. Paul was indeed an evil person before his conversion. But God transformed him. So we come to the second heading, conversion, verses 6 through 16. Paul intentionally wanted to share his testimony and the gospel to the Jews. So Paul shared with the Jews how God humbled him by his power. In fact, God converted Paul, the persecutor of Christians, in a dramatic manner. One day, as Paul was traveling to Damascus, he was struck by a great light from heaven. Imagine it was noon. The sun must have been very bright. Yet Paul was struck by a light brighter than the sun, and he fell to the ground. And then he heard the voice from heaven. What did he hear? He heard, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" First of all, I want you to notice this. Saul, Saul. Saul is a Hebrew name. And he is addressing these Hebrew people. So he's trying to connect with this Hebrew mob. So what is meant by this? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When Paul persecuted the Christians, he actually persecuted the resurrected Christ. Do not think that when people reject the offer of the gospel, that they rejected you. You know, sometimes when you share about Jesus Christ to unbelievers, they can be mean to you and they reject the free offer of the gospel from you. And sometimes you get upset, discouraged. But that person actually did not reject you. He rejected Christ. Okay? And that's what happened in the case of Paul. Okay, when Paul persecuted the Christians, he was actually persecuting Christ. So when Paul heard the voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Paul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." If you refer to Acts chapter 9, there you will find the conversion story about Paul. But there you will not find these words, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." But you will only find here. And you would think that the Jews would have been enraged at the mention of the name Jesus. But astonishingly, they did not. The Jews were not enraged when they heard the name of Jesus. So what is Paul doing here? Paul was introducing the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this mob, these Jews. And now Paul began to emphasize that Jesus is Lord. Despite the bright light all around Paul and others, no one heard the voice. Only Paul heard the voice. And so he asked the Lord, "What shall I do, Lord? What shall I do, Lord?" Verse 10. And then the Lord told him to get up and go to Damascus. In Damascus, he would be told what to do. Now, what had the bright light done to Paul? Blindness. Temporary blindness for 3 days. Look at verse 11. "And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus." I could not see. I was led by the hand, meaning he was blind. He was struck by the bright light to blindness. So Paul was led by his travel companions to Damascus. Now the question is, how was Paul's sight restored? God used a man called Ananias. And Paul described this man to the Jews as a devout man according to the Jewish law. In other words, Ananias was known by the Jewish people who lived in Damascus for his piety and obedience to the Jewish law. Remember, Paul is addressing a Jewish crowd and he's bringing in Ananias, who was a Jewish. Ananias, the devout man, addressed Paul affectionately by calling him Brother Saul. And God used Ananias to restore Paul's sight. Paul received his sight. He was able to see again. So Paul put forward to the Jews that he was healed supernaturally from his blindness by the power of God. But what is interesting is this. Paul repeated the words of Ananias very carefully and intentionally concerning his call to ministry. Look at verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, then he said, Ananias said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men for what you have seen and heard." In these two verses, there are three things that we need to examine. Number one, Paul was called to be a gospel minister in verse 15. And that's the defense Paul was making before the mob. Look at verse 15. "For you will be his witness to all men for of what you have seen and heard." For you, Paul, will be God's witness. Witness means testimony or martyr. Witness to all men, both Jews and Gentiles. So Paul was called to be a gospel minister. Number two, from verses 14 and 15, Paul was appointed by God to be a gospel minister. Appointed. Paul asserted that he was not self-appointed to be a gospel minister, but he was appointed by God. Look at verse 14. "The God of our fathers has chosen you." See? The God of our fathers. Paul identifies with the Jews sharing the same God and the fathers. The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And also the fathers, the Jewish fathers or ancestors. The God of the Jews had appointed Paul to be the gospel minister. Look at verse 14. "The God of our fathers has chosen you." Here, Paul is bringing the sovereignty of God. God chose Paul before the foundation of the world to be the gospel minister for him. In other words, Paul did not appoint himself, but rather he was appointed by God to be the gospel minister. That's what verse 14 is saying. Third observation in verses 14 and 15. Paul was to proclaim the message about the Messiah. Notice, Paul did not mention Jesus as the Messiah, but stated the just one or the righteous one. Look at verse 14. "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth." Just one, or the righteous one. Hearing this, the Jews should have known that Ananias was actually referring to Jesus, the Messiah. Because in Isaiah 53, we find the same word, the righteous one, referring to whom? To Jesus. But notice in verse 14, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will." What will? Why will? Ananias exhorted Paul to discover God's will. Why is that so? Well, Paul thought that he was doing a favor to God by persecuting the Christians. He thought he was doing a good thing by being a Jew and persecuting the Christians. He thought he was demonstrating his devotion to God. But that was not God's will for him. What was the will of God for Paul then? Paul was to preach what he had seen and heard concerning Christ, according to verse 14 and 15. To preach and teach the words of Jesus, the righteous one. That was the will of God for Paul. And remember these words of Ananias. These were the words of Ananias, the devout, the Jewish devout. But first, Ananias exhorted Paul to get up and be baptized and seek forgiveness of sins by calling upon the Lord. Now, Ananias had made very clear to Paul that he should carry out God's will. But before that, he must be baptized. He must seek forgiveness of sins by calling upon the Lord. Why? Paul persecuted the Christians, and thus he committed sins against God. So Ananias urged Paul to repent of his sins and receive forgiveness for his sins by trusting Jesus. And then he was baptized as a sign for the washing away of his sins. And also, baptism symbolizes union with Christ. And baptism also symbolizes that you are a new person in Christ. So my question is this: have you received forgiveness for your sins? Or are you still living in sins? Do you know where true happiness is found? You know, we seek happiness in many things on this earth. But listen to this author, Thomas Watson, who wrote The Godly Man's Picture. He stated this. Listen very carefully. Concerning true happiness, quote, "Holy David, at the beginning of this psalm," referring to Psalm 32, "Holy David, at the beginning of this psalm, shows us wherein true happiness consists, not in beauty, honor, riches, the world's trinity, but in the forgiveness of sin." The forgiveness of sin. If you have time, turn to Psalm 32, verse 1, and read it for yourself. "Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven." Psalm 32, 1. At this moment, Paul was converted by God's power. Not only Paul was healed from physical blindness, but from spiritual blindness. As Paul was sharing his conversion story, at the same time, he was sharing the gospel to the mob. That is genius of him. And Paul, in his speech, defended his call to ministry, his call to gospel ministry. And here Paul explained that he received the call to ministry through Ananias. Now, next, Paul declared that he received the call to ministry, received the call to gospel ministry from the Lord himself. So we come to the third heading, Apostle to the Gentiles. Apostle to the Gentiles, verses 17 through 21. So Paul shared his conversion story and shared the gospel to the mob. The Jews were listening very carefully to Paul. So far, so good, but not for long. After Paul was healed from his blindness, he returned from Damascus to Jerusalem. And what was the first thing he did? He went to the temple to pray. He went to the temple to pray. Look at verse 17. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. Let us pause here for a while. Paul prayed. This is the mark of a converted person. Paul was a converted person. He prayed to God. So a converted person prays to God. How about you? Do you discipline yourself to pray to God? And it seems that prayer is the hardest thing to do. And many Christians struggle with prayer. Just to set aside time to pray has become a challenge. So seek God's help to bless your prayer life. Paul prayed in the temple. How Paul could have blasphemed the temple if he went to the temple to pray? Because the Jews falsely accused Paul to blaspheme the temple. But here we see Paul in the temple praying. Besides prayer, we are told that Paul experienced trance. Trance means vision. In the vision, he saw Jesus. And Jesus commanded Paul to escape from Jerusalem. Why? Jesus gave the reason in verse 18. And saw him saying to me, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me." Jesus knew that the Jews would reject the gospel because they rejected Jesus when he was on this earth in Jerusalem. And the Jews rejected Christ's teachings. And so here Jesus told Paul to leave Jerusalem. Paul wanted the Jews to know that he was the one who persecuted the Jewish Christians, including Stephen. Remember, Paul went from synagogue to synagogue and dragged the Jewish Christians and beat them up and imprisoned them. He was also responsible for the death of Stephen at his feet. In other words, Paul approved the death of Stephen as he was stoned by the Jews. What is Paul doing here? Paul was identifying himself with the mob. He was doing the same thing which the Jews did to him in the temple. So far, the Jews were listening to him attentively, but that is going to end soon. Look at verse 21. Then he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, "Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles." Jesus commanded Paul to bring the gospel to whom? To the Gentiles, far from Jerusalem. When the Jews heard, the mob heard the word Gentiles, they were enraged. Notice the trigger for anger was not the name of Jesus, but the word Gentiles. And we will learn more about the outcome the next time. Well, from this text, we examine three headings: identity, conversion, apostle to the Gentiles. But before we leave this text, let me say these few words. Jesus was zealous for God, the Father. He came to this earth to do the will of God. He did not defend himself from false accusations. In fact, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter on the cross. He was crucified. He died for our sins so that we may receive forgiveness for our sins. Jesus was raised to life so that he could be justified, so that we can receive Christ's righteousness by faith. Jesus is zealous that you and I might be saved. If you are not a Christian, then I urge you to stop sinning and sincerely seek forgiveness for your sins. Trust Jesus for your salvation. Remember, true happiness can only be experienced by a forgiven sinner. My friends, if you are a Christian, then be zealous for God. Use every opportunity to share the gospel to the unbelievers. Before conversion, Paul was zealous for God in a wrong way. The Jewish people were zealous for God in a wrong way. But Paul, after his conversion, was zealous for Christ in the right way. In attempting to defend his call to gospel ministry, Paul shared Jesus to his angry audience despite danger to his life. So you be zealous for Christ. Be evangelistic. You are also called to be witnesses for Christ. You and I are called to plant the gospel seed, and God will provide the harvest. So use every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and start with your family, then your neighbors, and then your friends. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this text. Lord, we marvel at how the Apostle Paul defended himself concerning his call to gospel ministry. Father, you gave him the strength and the words of wisdom. And even during his speech of defense, he shared the gospel. Father, help us to be like the Apostle Paul, to seize every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to others so that they also can have hope, peace, and joy in Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.